This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
A community seeks justice for Michael Lemhart, the latest African-American youth to die by the hands of the Newburgh City Police. And the piece, This Bitter Earth, is really the introduction to our, it's an ironic introduction because of the nature of the song, to one of our next
this
guests.
Bitter Earth. What fruit it bears. What good is love? That no one shares. And if my life is like the dust that hides a glow of a rose, what good am I? Heaven only knows this bitter earth can be so cold, today you might be young. But too soon, you're gonna grow old. And while a voice within me cries.
Anger still rages in the latest police killing March 7th in the city of Newburgh, New York, of Michael Lemhart. Governor Cuomo has turned down Newburgh's request for a special prosecutor in the case of the fatal shooting. Newburgh's mayor, Judy Kennedy, meanwhile told a community forum that she and the city council will await an Orange County grand jury's verdict before deciding whether to consider any disciplinary action of their own in the police shooting death of Lemhart. Meanwhile, the officers involved remain on administrative leave.
The community has been relentless in its pursuit of justice for Lemhart, vowing never to let it happen again. Too many young people are being lost, and Lemhart's death is the latest in what they claim is due to police discrimination and brutality towards the African-American community. The community hopes that Lemhart's death will lead to a federal probe of the Newburgh Police Department. Now, the case for justice for Michael Lemhart with Lily Howard, who did the song, This Bitter Earth, Newburgh activist whose grandson was killed by the police, and Juanita King, cousin of Michael Lemhart, who speaks to us from a city council hearing during which Michael's killing will be raised. Why don't we begin with Juanita, who I know is literally at a hearing and will have to leave us momentarily. Juanita, tell us about what happened to your cousin, Michael Lemhart.
On March 7th, he was sitting on his porch talking to a friend when the infamous Newburgh Hop-Out Boys, who are the cops, pulled up in a green truck. He stepped inside the door and locked it. They ran up on the porch, told his friend to walk away. Yeah, they kind of like kicked at him and made him leave. And then they kicked in the door and commenced to shoot him. And there was an array of 20-some bullets, nine of which hit Michael and killed him. Michael was only 22 years old. He left behind two children, a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Now, you're saying Michael was in the house when this happened?
Yes, he was. He was in the house, had already walked in the house, locked the door and everything. They kicked in a locked door.
And what was the presumed basis for the police to come to the locality in any event?
They seen Michael sitting on the porch. Michael had a warrant for domestic violence and a bench warrant for not going to court the previous week for the same domestic violence charge.
Were there other people in the house when Michael was shot?
My cousin, who is 26, and her four of her children were there, all under the age of 8, and her 16-year-old sister were all upstairs at the time. When they kicked in the door, his older sister came to the top of the stairs. One of the police pointed a gun at her. He proceeded to tell her, "If you effing move, I'm going to put an effing bullet in you." So at that point, she threw her hands up in the air. She didn't know what was going on because she was asleep. Then kicking in her door awoke her. Her son started to cry. She was like, "That's my son. I just want to get my son." And at that time, she heard Michael state, "If you're going to throw the table at me, go ahead," because they were downstairs antagonizing him. She went to turn her back because he told her to get the baby. And when she went to turn her back, all she heard was gunfire.
How many police officers were involved?
4. And we've learned that only 2 of them were the shooters. It was, and by the way, the bullets were in the house. He was caught in a crossfire.
What has occurred since then in the quest to get both detail and justice in what would certainly appear to be another senseless, unnecessary killing by police of a young African-American male?
Every day we protest because we ask questions that we don't get answers to. We've consistently asked the mayor for answers. She doesn't have any. We've asked the city council. We've sent a request to the governor to have a special prosecutor appointed, which was denied. So tonight I'm actually presenting a letter to the city council that I want to hand deliver to the DA, Francis Phillips, myself. It's asking him to step down and hand the case over to the DA so that that way we can get a fair and impartial trial.
You mentioned 2 things, Juanita. One, you talked about questions that you had that were not answered. If you could tell us what some of those questions are, and then also why you feel that you cannot get a fair trial as things are unfolding at this time.
Well, I've continuously asked her about the how far the investigation has gotten.
Her being the mayor?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We've even talked to the chief of police. We've talked to the city council, and we've asked them different things about the investigation. How far is it? What point are you at? What are you doing? What's your next steps to not have this happen again? And there is no answers.
And at this point, what do you want to tell the council this evening? What's the body of that letter? What are you demanding?
Well, we're respectfully asking tonight for Frank Phillips to hand the case over to the governor because it's a conflict of interest. He cannot handle this case. He sits down, you know, these are his friends of his, the police. I'm talking about the DA,
the DA
who's handling the case. He needs to give the case up because there's a conflict of interest. He is not going to find friends of his guilty. In all of the cases, there's like 6 other cases that have come before this one, and all of them he has justified. Not one of them has he said it was unjustified. There is Antonio Bryant, who is Miss Lily's grandson. There is Kevin Brown. He was also killed by the police. There's Deontay Jones. Deontay Jones. I'm going to say, Miss Lily, you know the names better than I do. I'm so sorry.
Well, we'll get that into that broader pattern. But when you say that, is that your major contention now, that there cannot be any impartiality because of the close relationship between the DA and the police department? Or do you think that there's something deeper that led to the police behavior and action that resulted in the death of your cousin?
I really think it goes a lot deeper.
They Why?
Didn't like my cousin. They harassed him on a number of occasions before they actually killed him. And a week before that, they actually went to my aunt's hotel room looking for him. He ran, and they told her to her face, "When we catch that little, and they, excuse my language, that little bastard, we're going to kill him. And they'll do whatever is possible, chase him, harass him, do whatever is possible until they get what they want. And that's either locking him up or killing him."
And how is the community responding to this latest police killing of a young black man?
The community is in an uproar, which myself, Miss Lily, and Omari Shakur, her son, we've been protesting nothing but peaceful to the community that, you know, if they go a wire and start a riot or do anything, it could, you know, hinder our getting justice. And that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to get justice for my cousin.
And do you see any relationship between what happened to your cousin, Michael Lempart, certainly the other people who we will talk about momentarily with Lily in Newburgh who were killed by the police, and really a broader pattern of institutional violence against young black men?
It really is, and it needs to succumb. It's time. That's what I'm trying to preach to everybody. If we don't stand up now, who's next? If they let the door on my cousin, the door of justice close here, they're only opening the door to their own home, because it will happen again. And that's what we're trying to prevent. We know that we cannot bring my cousin back, but we are going to do everything in our power to prevent it from happening to the next one, and to have somebody else's family go through what we're going through right now.
And Lily, let's bring you into the discussion, too. You have not only experienced now the death of Michael Lempart, but you also lost your grandson at the hands of the Newburgh City Police Department.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your experience and your understanding of the viciousness, of the cruelty, of the discrimination that is abounding in the city of Newburgh. And
well, Mimi, first and foremost, I'd like to share this with you, okay? Because it's connected to me. And this is a quote from The Condemnation of Blackness, Race, Crime, and the Making of Modern Urban America by Khalil Gibran Muhammad. Just want to read this to you. As Philadelphia's black leaders had observed in the midst of the racial violence of 1918, police officers were often on the wrong side of the law, aiding and sometimes leading mob attacks against blacks. Updating the Chicago Commission's finding, the 1929 Illinois Crime Survey found that African Americans made up 30% of the recorded killings by police in 1926 through 1927, though they represented only 5% of the population. Less than a year after the Crime Survey's publication, police shootings of black males in Chicago continued, according to Ida B. Wells. In the manhunt for a 16-year-old accused of breaking a restaurant window, she reported the police entered his home without a warrant, guns blazing. He died in a hail of 35 bullets. Wow. And that's what? 1926 to 27? So what we're seeing here is nothing but the same old thing that's been going on down through the years. And the sad part about it is, it's not ever seriously, I say seriously, addressed. And that's really the sad factor in all this, because this has been going on and on and on and on.
And when your grandson Antonio died, how old was he?
Antonio was, I think he was 24, 23 or 24.
And that was in 2006?
2006.
And was there any action, were there any charges, anything that ensued as a result of that police murder of that young man?
None whatsoever. But I just have to share this part with you. Antonio's father, my son, Omari Shakur, community activist within the community, had been going throughout the community, down in our community, videoing the police when they were taking advantage of different citizens. Well, this one time that he was doing that, the police jumped out on him, snatched the camera, and beat him. As a result of it, that case and another case where they had harassed him when he was out in the community, those cases were thrown out. Well, the day we were walking out of the court, because my son had said, hey, he's going to do a lawsuit. The police said to him as he was walking out, and I was with him, so I heard it, we'll see you later. 2 weeks after that statement, my grandson was shot.
Lily, you know, what do we need to call for in terms of beginning to do an evaluation of the behavior of the Newburgh City Police Department? What are the issues there that the community is now demanding redress for?
Well, the bottom line, I feel we need more Latino and African American officers on our force. I feel that we need community policing. When I ran for mayor in 2007, that's one of the things I had. I said, I want community policing, whereby the police and the citizens would get to know one another, and you could break down that negativity that is in existence. We never see the police walking the beat, except in 2007 when I was running. They put them out on the beat then, but then they pulled them back once the election was over. But I feel that community relations is very important.
And what about a federal probe of the department, because it doesn't seem that it can self-rectify its practices?
Well, I totally agree with that. In fact, that's one of the things I also said I would like to see done, because the bottom line is, and I find it very interesting, in some other communities, I forgot exactly where it was, but it's a community not too far from here, the federals came in and monitored that police department for, I think, about a year. And I found myself saying, wow, they had much less going on with their police department than we have here in the city of Newburgh. But requests have been made for that, but it's never been done.
And how many deaths now are we talking about? What is the pattern of the Newburgh City Police Department, let's just say, from 2006, when your own grandson was shot to death by the police?
Well, you had a Nate Cobbs, who his girlfriend had called the police, I think because she said they were having an argument or something. Bottom line, the police came, they took him, and it was a very hot day that day. They had him in the back seat. They tasered him, and their dogs bit him, and he died. And his body was sitting in the back seat of that garage where the police have their cars. And it was just a terrible situation. Another situation, Kevin Brown, who happened to be a white man, who was arrested on drugs, and he wouldn't tell the police where he had purchased the drugs from. Anyway, he put the drugs in his mouth to try to swallow them. The police saw what was happening, but they did nothing to help him. He was dying right in front of their eyes. Then we have Deontay Jones, who the police were chasing him, and the car ran into a hit area and caught on fire. The police set out there and watched the car burn with Deontay in it.
Well, before Juanita has to return to the council, Juanita, what would you like to tell our listeners about what needs to be done?
First of all, the community needs to bind together and support each other. That's first and foremost, because like I said, if they don't stand up now, they're opening the doors for it to happen to one of their sons, their cousins, their nephews. You know, it's going to hit home, and then they'll be here with us saying, why didn't I do it? So I understand it. It's time for this to come to a head and stop. Not only that, we need to all start voting. Register to vote. If you don't like who's in office, you don't like what's going on, it's time to vote them out of office. Not only that, anytime there's a police shooting, I'd like to see an independent prosecutor for each time, because if there's circumstances around it that says something ain't right, it probably isn't. There should be somebody that oversees these cops at every incident, because sooner or later, people are going to get tired of it, and I don't want it to go the wrong way, but that's what's going to happen, and we're going to start policing the police.
And how is your family holding up under this terrible loss and strain?
It has taken a real strain on his mother and father. Neither one of them are well right now, and that's why I'm out doing interviews. My mother is doing the protesting. I mean, we're all taking turns. It's taken a real toll on our family. You know, I don't know how to describe it. We're just not whole. We don't feel whole. I mean, Easter, nobody could celebrate, you know, with the kids being all dressed, and we didn't even want to, like, acknowledge that it was a holiday because there's something missing. They took something from us. It's taken a real toll on the family. They took a part of us.
Well, it sounds like certainly our listeners should make it clear to the mayor of the city and, frankly, to Governor Cuomo. People do want a special prosecutor, and they want charges brought against the police officers who are, at this point, on administrative leave. Am I correct about that, Juanita?
Yes, you are, because even if they go to jail, they don't lose what my cousin lost. You know what I'm saying? He'll never be able to kiss his kids. His kids would never, from the day he died, they'll never know what it feels like to have their father tuck them in at night, to have him give them a hug, to walk them to school the first day of school.
And Lily, what should we understand about Newburgh and the community's concern about the Newburgh City Police Department? What should we do?
Well, the bottom line is I feel that this situation in the city of Newburgh is gone in the Bronx, it's gone in down in White Plains, I think, the place, and I think we need to band together and take this to Albany, to the governor, lay it on his table.
Excuse me, sorry, ladies, but I have to go.
Okay. Juanita, we wish you the best. Thank you very much. And we have been speaking to Juanita King, cousin of Michael Lemhardt, who was shot to death by the Newburgh City Police Department officers on March 7th, and she was speaking to us from a hearing where she's going to be presenting a letter to the council about justice for Michael Lemhardt. We wish you the best, Juanita.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good night.
And Lily, do you
Mimi,
think...
I just want to share this
please.
With you because Omari is the spokesperson for the Lemhardt family. At the last city council meeting, which was 2 weeks ago, the family and some of the people were inside the city council meeting, and they were saying no justice, no peace, and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, the police come over to Omari, put their hands on him, and so Omari asked him, am I under arrest? He said, no. So he said, well, get your hands off of me. Then the policeman said, now you're under arrest. Took him down to the police department, kept him 2 hours. As he was coming out, around maybe 10 to 12 policemen were standing there, so he had to come past them. One of them, as he was leaving, said to him, don't wind up like your son did. Come on, what are we saying? And, my God, the arresting officer happened to be the brother of the one that killed Omari's son. So when he had to make a court appearance last Monday, when he goes, they couldn't find they said, well, they don't have him on the list to be in court today. He said, well, it was written up that I'm supposed to be in court today. So they said, well, I'm sorry, we don't see it. So Omari goes back home to get the slip that was given to him, brings it back there. When he presents it, they said, oh, now we found it. So it seems to me they were trying to set up a situation whereby they could say he didn't show up for court so they could, you know, arrest him.
And
so
we're
this
talking
is a
about,
type of thing that's going on.
Right.
In our
and Omari Shakur is the son of Lily Howard's and the father of Antonio, who the grandson of Lily, who was killed. Well, I really want to thank you for your courage and just really advocate myself. I think that we're about due for a Kerner Commission, a real federal look at what has been happening both on the private sector and with police apparatus in their absolute disdain for and their murderous activity against young men of color. And we really thank you for your courage, for standing up, and I hope more people will get involved in and pay attention to what's happening in places like Newburgh.
And Mimi, I just want to say, God bless you, and thank you so much. My heart is overwhelmed because I've been with this for over 50 years. Well, 45 years after I came back from show business. After 45 years, I'm 72. I'm growing tired. But I hope before I close my eyes for the last time that I will see justice brought to the city of Newburgh. I hope and pray so.
Well, with strong, strong people such as yourself, such as your son Amari Shakur, and people like Juanita King, we'll join with you, and we will fight that good fight for justice for our sisters and brothers in Newburgh, and most specifically for Antonio and for Michael Lempart. Thank you so much for joining us. And again, we were speaking with Lily Howard, and before that, Juanita King.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.